Lord.
Amen.
And the best part of being in the house of the Lord is those that we get to be with, and especially Him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Not that He's not the most important. He is. I'm sorry. He is so important. But because we're His body, can I just caveat here for just a moment? Because we're a part of His body, when we're here with one another, we are with Him. Now, His presence is here, too, in a fresh touch. But we are with Him when we're together. You ever needed a physical touch from God? Well, often you can get that physical touch from God from a hug, from a fellow member of His body. We've heard the statement that sometimes you just need God with a little bit of flesh. You need that hug and that touch. And we get that from being with one another. And that's an incredible, incredible blessing from the Lord. We are talking about, and 2 weeks ago we started this series, Portraits of Salvation. Don't we need salvation? Oh, every day. Every day we need to, not that I don't know that I am ready anytime the Lord would call us home. And I've done, and I work to do everything I need to do to know that I'm saved. But we need to be assured that we're saved every day. And we do that in connecting with Him. In connection with Him. And today our lesson is covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. Oh my goodness. How many songs? I'm going to have to move this down because I got to look. How many songs can you think of right now about the blood? Nothing but the blood. 245 in this book. Nothing but the blood. There is nothing more important than the blood of Christ. And then on 312, there's power in the blood. Wonder-working power. Anything. God can do anything. And His blood in our lives can affect anything that we need. And then this one. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. 207. I was thinking of this because I've been thinking about this lesson for 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. And your message Thursday night, Brother Lamas, about these songs. They touch our hearts and our lives. And what I need to work against is just singing them. Because how long have we been singing them? Well, I started singing them when I was, you know, around 12, 13. And they become so that, no, you know, so you pull out a book and you think, oh, you need this, the book to know, and then it's like you could be like Pastor and you don't need a book for any of them because Pastor knows them all. No, it's we get to the point that we know them so well that we just sing them. And we don't pay attention to what they're saying. And then there's one more that I thought of. I get to get to the right place. I found it, the Gateway Worship version of it, but oh, the blood of Jesus. All of the things that the blood of Jesus does in our lives. But being covered by the blood. Our scripture text is in Leviticus. No, I'm sorry, not Leviticus. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. If you know the context, coming up to this point is that Moses had seen a burning bush and he and Aaron joined up forces in Egypt. And they started going to Pharaoh and they said, "You got to let us go. God told us we need to leave and you need to let us go." Forgive my paraphrasing. And many, many plagues. The first two, at least, the first two were copied by the magicians of Egypt. And Pharaoh just, "That's nothing. Who's your God?" See, we can do that. But then the plagues continued to happen. And no longer could the magicians make that happen. And we get to the point of the very last plague. And actually, if you read the context, Pharaoh himself, now I know God had a plan from the very beginning, but Pharaoh mentioned what the next plague would be. He said, "It doesn't matter even if our firstborn die. I'm not going to let you go." Wow. Yes, absolutely. And God, in his plan, already knew that the firstborn of all Egypt were going to die. And if the blood had not been applied to the door of the houses in Israel, their firstborn would have died also. Because without the covering of the blood over the doorposts and the lintel of the door, the firstborn, any firstborn in that home would have died. Exodus 12 and 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." The blood of that lamb is what protected any firstborn in that house. And so to be covered by his blood is so important. And I want to stop right there, and I want to ask you to pray with me. I need my brain to clear up a little bit and be succinct, that the Lord's message could come through today, because this may be the most important message from cover to cover in this book, is being covered by the blood. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to look at your word today. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing us, Lord, bringing us together, Lord. Help anyone today that is hearing this to hear and receive your words today. We give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus Christ's shed blood delivers us from sin. It delivered Israel in Exodus from death. But isn't that the cost of sin? So we are delivered from ultimate death when we have the blood applied to us. All of those Israelites that were saved on the first Passover, they eventually died. But Jesus Christ, when we apply His blood to our lives, we may actually experience physical death in this life, but we will have eternal life in Him when we are covered by His blood. So the Passover, well, we've been talking about this week of time in history for a couple weeks. The Passover, the death of Christ, leading up to the death of Christ, we were leading up to, Israel was leading up to the Passover. Because what was sacrificed at the first Passover? A lamb. As perfect a lamb as they could find. New. Only so old. No blemishes. No hurts. As pure as could be found. It needed to be a perfect lamb. And it was sacrificed, and its blood was applied, and that household was saved. And down through time, each Passover that was celebrated, a lamb was sacrificed so that its blood could be taken by the priest into the holiest of holies. And that blood had to be put there on the mercy seat so that the mercy of God, basically the wrath of God, would come down and see the blood and turn to mercy. And the sins of the people would be pushed ahead one more year. One more year. And it created this ritualistic religion, very steeped in process. In some ways, that can be taken a little bit too far, that process. But yet, we need process in our lives to make sure that we are staying connected with Him. The process that was put in place in the Old Testament specifically, I believe, was given so that we would know and understand that God is involved in the most minute parts of our lives. He wants to be, but we have to let Him be involved in every little part of our life. And looking at this practice of the Passover, we are coming up to the death of Christ, and I said a moment ago that the death of Christ happened at Passover. And Jesus Christ, the man Jesus, was the perfect sacrifice. Sinless. God manifested in the flesh. And the process of Him laying down His life, that perfect life, was the last blood sacrifice that needed to be made to provide salvation. And now we have this ability to access the blood of Christ in sacrifice for our lives. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22. As a matter of fact, if you really want to get into this, that whole ninth chapter of Hebrews will take you up and down and in and around and all about this process. But chapter 9, verse 22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, is no remission. The wrongs in our lives are not able to be taken away completely without the application of the blood of Christ in our lives. We need the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you would say, well, Sister Nichols, how do I do that? Well, in Acts chapter 2, right after Peter preached one of the best sermons that you'll probably ever read, we weren't there to hear it, but we can read it. Luke did a good job penning it out, what Peter preached. And to have that blood applied to our lives, we need to participate in what happened at that Passover. And he says in verse 38 that we need to first repent. What does that mean? Well, that means that I am so sorry for all of the wrong that I've done. And even a child that has done very little wrong compared to adults still needs to repent, because we have a natural sinful nature that we're born with. And we have to kill that nature in us in repentance. Lord, forgive me. Now, we can often have great things that need to be forgiven, but Lord, just forgive me for this nature that I have. Lord, I don't want to be carnally minded. I don't want to follow my flesh in this life. I want to follow you. And Lord, take it away. I'm going to be different from this point on. It's not just being caught and saying, oh, I'm sorry. No, it's changing. I'm sorry for this, and I will work to never do this or be this way again. And then that verse 38, chapter 2, verse 38 says that we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that specific act applies that shed blood from Calvary is applied in that baptism. And Jesus Christ becomes a part, a covering over our lives. And the book of Romans chapter 6, I believe, talks about that we are then buried with him in baptism. So at Calvary, he died and he was buried. And then last Sunday, we celebrated that he came out of that grave and he resurrected, and he wants to do the same thing in our lives. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 talks about that after we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we are then to rise and be filled with the Holy Ghost. We shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. The lucky ones get that when they come up out of the water. Yes, the blessed ones, brother. I didn't receive the Holy Ghost when I came up out of the water. And I had to work hard at surrendering me. And I confess that that's something I still have to work at. I still have to work at surrendering me. There are a few people, maybe more than a few people, that would tell you I'm pretty stubborn. If my dad was listening right now, he would be amening that. My husband would be listening right now. He would be amening that statement. And with this black thing on, I've had to learn that I really do have to ask for help. And oh, if you are independent and stubborn, that's a really hard thing to do. No, I can figure this out. And I can tell you, I have figured out a lot of things. I can do it. But that is not what we need to be. That's not how we need to be when we are working with the Lord about things in our lives. We should never say, God, I've got this. Because as soon as we do that, we're going to be on our face in the mud. Because we need Him. We absolutely need Him. We need Him in our lives. And so, Jesus' blood was shed for each and every one of us. And we can participate in that. And now, we don't have a yearly sacrifice that needs to be offered. We are a daily sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1. It's our reasonable service to be a living sacrifice. That we would give ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. That's how we can participate. And then 2 weeks ago, if you were here on a Thursday night, we celebrated communion. Now all we have to do is remember what. We don't have to go to a farm somewhere and find a perfect lamb. Or raise one in the backyard. We have our sacrifice. We have our sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know something really important about having that sacrifice applied to our lives and after we have given ourselves in repentance and been baptized in His name and been filled with the Holy Ghost? A very, very important thing that the Apostle Paul pointed out to us that we need to know and understand. Romans 8, I believe it's verse 1, says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Does that mean that God doesn't ever deal with us about something? Oh, no, no, no. That's conviction. And God will convict us. And Lord, please convict us of things that we do not need in our lives. But what we need to remember is that after we have obeyed what Peter said to be saved, and we are working daily after that to be saved and be covered by the blood in that salvation, that we need to remember that we should not receive the condemnation that can come at us or we put on ourselves. Because our past is gone. That's condemnation. When your past comes back, whether it's, oh, I remember you. Do you remember? Do you remember when that happened? That was the greatest. Oh, it really wasn't. It wasn't the greatest. But there will be people, if we are not careful, there will be people that come up in our lives and come to us and want us to remember. Or we ourselves. Usually, when our heads are laid on the pillow and our minds start reeling, and our past comes flooding back at us, that's when we need to know this verse, Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Your past, when you go down in the name of Jesus Christ and come up all wet, your past is gone. It's not there anymore. And if you say something to the Lord about it, what's that? What are you talking about? And now I want to spend the last few minutes of this lesson focusing on what the Lord really impressed me about this lesson. What's the first word in the lesson title? Covered. Covered. That's not just, you know, a little bit. I did look up the word covered in the dictionary on my phone, the dictionary app, and the first definition, and did you know that there were in that version of the dictionary, there were 59 definitions of covered or cover. I'm just going to look at the first two, okay? The first one is to be or serve as a covering for or extend over or rest on the surface of. And then the second definition is to place something over or upon as for protection, concealment, or warmth. Now, the first time that that implication of being covered, you can't find the word covered in this first instance, but in Genesis, in just the first little bit there, you remember there had been there was that sin that happened. And when that sin happened, Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. And they tried to cover themselves. So they were looking at needing concealment. That natural man cannot be in the presence of God without needing concealment. And so the fig leaves worked for until God showed up. And in walking in the cool of the evening, when the Lord said, "Hey, Adam, where are you?" Well, I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I'm naked. God says, "Well, who told you you were naked?" That naked there means that they were revealed. When we come into the presence of the Lord, who we really are is revealed. And we need a concealment. But just like there was an animal somewhere that was slain, and God gave them the skins of that animal. And that's the first indication that blood is necessary. And then you get all the way back down to the scripture in Hebrews that says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the tabernacle is all about the shedding of blood for the remission of sin, for personal sins that you had committed, and you do a sacrifice, and then back down to that Passover that happened and the lamb that would be slain in that Passover. So there is a need in our lives for concealment, but if we try to conceal or hide our nature, ourselves, it's just like fig leaves. There's really no effect. Everybody can still see who we are. But when we are covered by the blood, and something, especially the Lord, comes at us, He does not see us as we were. He sees the covering of the blood. The covering was for protection. In the wilderness, coming out of Egypt, God met them. And He met them at their very need of protection. If it was in the day, it was a cloud. He was a cloud to protect them from the heat of the sun in the desert. And at night, He became a pillar of fire to give them heat and protection. And when Pharaoh came, there was that pillar of fire that separated Israel from the enemy. And so this covering, He is a covering in our lives so that we can have protection. And then that last word, warmth. Well, warmth is from the fire too. But when I read that word warmth, and no, I didn't look it up. But in my mind, I thought comfort. We need the comfort of knowing that we're ready to meet Him. We need the comfort and shelter and warmth when the world comes at us and our battles come to us and circumstances come to us. We need all three of these things from God. And there are all kinds of analogies about covering in Scripture. But one specific came to mind, and I hope I don't butcher this, but at a Jewish wedding, they come together at their wedding under a chuppah. Now, down through time, that chuppah has become pretty complicated and much bigger in that. But in the beginning, I looked back at some tradition, Jewish traditions, and from older time Jewish traditions. And that chuppah originally started out as the tallit, or the prayer shawl, that the men wore. And it was a covering. And it was not held up by a beautiful, you know, ephodus of boards that were put together that you know, you could go under and all of that. No, it was held up by the elders on each four corner. And those that were to be married would come under. And after the elders held it up over their head and the ceremony had happened, it was let down and given to the groom. And the groom wrapped it around his bride as a covering, as a protection, as a, I'm going to take care of you. And God applies His blood to our lives when we willingly are baptized in His name. And what do we become when we do that? We become a part of the bride of Christ. And He is wrapping us up and covering us. And what did Jesus say when He stood out at toward the very end of His life and He looked at Jerusalem and He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to cover you like a hen covers its chicks in protection, in comfort, in all of those things." And then there's not a lot of description about it, but in the book of Revelation, we are going to be a part of a wedding feast. There's going to be a wedding. And we know who the bridegroom is. Jesus Christ Himself. Do we know the bride, all of the bride? You know, we don't know all of the bride yet. He's still gathering all of the bride together. But I can picture in heaven the elders. Now, who are the elders? Well, where did this all come from? This all came from Israel. This whole book is full of metaphors and situations and life of Israel. So this is going to be a bit of my imagination because, again, it's not detailed in Scripture. But I can see in my mind's eye that when we are called up into heaven to that wedding, that Israel, the elders of Israel, are holding up the covering over the groom and the bride that has been gathered. And it's the blood of Christ that is that tallit, that covering that the elders are holding for that wedding and then wrapping it around so that we are never to be parted from our bridegroom. And we are totally protected. We are concealed. Our past is gone. And so, in closing, and thank you, Becca, for writing this out. I tried to search for it and couldn't find it myself, but there's a song sung by Mark Condon, and I'm not sure if he wrote it or it was written by someone else. Oh, yeah, it does say here. Thank you. Cover me. Peace of God, cover me. I need warmth. I need comfort. Cover me, cover me. Only in you I am safe. Only in you I'm secure. Only in you I find peace. So cover me. Cover me. Cover me when I'm hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I'm going through the storm. Those are all of those times in that definition. Protection, concealment, and warmth. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all understanding cover me. So today, you don't have to go back and do a Passover. We have Christ as our Passover. And His blood is available to each and every one of us. Each and any moment of any day, we can have His blood reapplied to our lives. He will keep us. And anyone who does not have the blood of Christ applied to their lives, He's right here, right now. I'm pretty sure that baptismal is ready. And He can fill us with the Holy Ghost in a moment. And we can have the blood of Christ covered by the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get ready for worship. And seeing what God will do for us. Praise God.